of my favorites. It's one of those places I'm sure that you have some sections in Scripture that you return to again and again. They are well traveled by your own heart. Deuteronomy 8 is one of those for me. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 together. 1 through 10. And the sermon really is going to focus on verses 1 through 4, but I want to give you the larger context there, just the whole passage. This is where Moses is giving instruction to the children of Israel on the other side of the Jordan River. They're about to cross over soon, and they are receiving, Deuteronomy means second law, they're receiving the law again for the second time. They're being reminded of God's faithfulness to them, being reminded of His instructions, what they are to do when they cross over. They're being strengthened for what could be a very fearful time for them as they think about the battles that are going to happen on the other side. And Moses wants to remind them of God's faithfulness and goodness to them. So he says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray that we receive it with hearts that are prepared. Make us ready to hear from you, to be encouraged by you, to learn the goodness and the power of remembrance. We need to people who remember how good you have been to us in the past so that we will follow you faithfully in the present. Teach us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of God's goodness to my family runs through a barn. I struggled for a couple of years with whether or not I would give my life to ministry. I was 29 years old, married with two kids, and we were broke. And I could not foresee how ministry would work out, how going back to school would work out. But the day came where I just said, "I'm in. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm in." And so we told my family, told our church on a Sunday there after the service, and then we went home. And that day, my wife prayed to God that he would let us live in a barn house somewhere where she could help to take care of horses. And that would give us a place to live, provide us some income while I go off to seminary. She came home and she told me about her prayer that she had prayed, and it sounds just as crazy right now as it did back then. But God did it. And there are some details that I will spare you. But within about a month, we were living in a barn house with horses beneath us, and we would stay there for about 5 years. God was showing his kindness and his provision to us in a time of need. And you would think that after an experience like that, that we would never doubt him again. That we would hold that blessing in our hearts, that we would wear it as a sign on our foreheads, that we would never be able to forget that he is a father who always takes care of his children, sometimes in very miraculous and stark ways. But I do forget. I get anxious. Sometimes I doubt that he is with me. Sometimes I doubt that he will care for me and wonder, will he be there for the next thing? Yeah, he was there for the last thing and the thing before that and the thing before that. But will he be there for the next thing? The words of Moses here are given as an encouragement for the people of Israel to remember. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past will strengthen you to follow him in obedience in the present. There's power in remembrance. In the present moment, you know, always here in the present where we actually live, we're almost always unable to see the hand of God very clearly. We don't know what he wants us to do. Everything seems very uncertain. The path in front of us is covered over with fog and darkness. We take each step really slowly because we're scared we're going to mess something up, not knowing the way. That's what happens in the present. We struggle in the present. But there is power in remembering the past. God has so ordered things that even the unbeliever will say, hindsight is 20/20, right? Everybody sees clearly looking backward. But for the Christian, he looks back and he doesn't just see his own steps more clearly. He looks back and he sees that there has been one who was with him the whole time, been leading him faithfully every step of the way. And so it is here with Israel in the wilderness. They had been on a long journey. This was the second generation of those who came out of Egypt. Their forefathers had gotten to this place right here one time previous to them, 40 years early, on the brink of the promised land. They were ready to go in. And they got there and they got scared. He said, there were giants in the land. They looked like grasshoppers compared to them. We cannot go in there. They had forgotten how God had brought them out of Egypt. They forgot all the miraculous works that he did on their behalf. They had forgotten in that moment the 10 plagues and then the Red Sea and the manna from the sky and the water from the rock, the quail that were on the ground. They forgot all of that stuff when they were in the present looking at their next challenge. And so what did God do? He judged them there in the wilderness. They all fell, that entire generation. And now their children after them have the same opportunity. They are looking at the promised land. And don't you think that there were some nerves being rattled in that moment? The warriors of Canaan are still on the other side of the Jordan River. There will be battles that are going to be fought. They were going to have to pick up their spears and their swords. And Moses says right here to the people of God, remember. Remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Not the Lord has led you some of the way. The Lord's led you the whole way. Not just a few of those years did the Lord lead you, but all 40 of them he has been with you. Some of you here have many years with the Lord under your belt. For some of you, 40 doesn't reach quite far enough. I've told you one of the mile markers for us as a family, one altar of remembrance. But you have your own. You can look back and you can see how God has worked on your behalf. And you know that God was present in those particular moments. But maybe you're tempted to think that every now and then he left the path while you were still on it. That there you were, a sheep without a shepherd, by yourself, not knowing which way to turn, all alone and scared, and God was nowhere to be found. But here Moses tells the children of Israel, the Lord was there the whole way. Now you did not sense his presence the whole way. You did not feel his love the whole way. You did not always know which way to turn the whole way. But the Lord, he says, was truly leading you that whole way. Notice the things that Moses tells them to remember. What should they look back on and think on as they begin to get fearful and maybe doubt? Look at verse 3. He let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Remember, manna meant, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. But they did know that it was food for their stomachs, that God himself had provided from heaven. It was bread that rained down from the sky every day. And so Moses says here to the people, do you remember the food that you ate? Yeah, every day it was out there. And he didn't just feed you every day because your body needed it. Yeah, you had to eat and God was your provider. You needed food in your stomach. But there was also a spiritual feeding that was going on there every day as well. Every day that you walked outside to pick up those flakes of bread on the ground, it was a reminder of God's presence and a token of his love. He wanted you to think as you scooped it up and put it in your jar, I am not on my own. I'm not by myself. This is miracle food that has come from the hand of God. He is with me. Yeah, these people probably got very used to going out there and picking up the food every day, and they would forget, in a sense, at least in their hearts, where it came from. It was just there. Of course it was there. And they got tired of eating it too, by the way. It's there every day when we go out there. I wish something else was out there. That's what they began to say. But they forgot, in a sense, the food. Like it grew in the dirt overnight. Moses says here, do you remember the food? God has cared for you every step of the way. Every day he gave you food. He was with you. He was with you then. He will be with you now. Don't be afraid. Verse 4. Look at what he says for them to remember there. Not only did he give them food to eat, it says your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Later on in Deuteronomy 29, Moses says, your shoes did not wear out on you. So their clothing, their shoes lasted, and their foot, he says, did not swell. So Moses is saying, do you remember your clothes? Have you noticed that they haven't worn out? Did you find it strange that at any point on the journey, your clothes never became threadbare? 40 years. The soles of your shoes never fell off. Have you noticed there's no shopping mall around here? You always had everything that you needed. New kids were born. You made new clothes. They lasted. These are miracle clothes. Not only did you have miracle food, miracle clothes, miracle shoes. And you can imagine at that point that everybody starts looking around at what they're wearing, starts paying attention. Hadn't paid attention to this stuff in years and years. It's just the way that it always was. But now they're noticing, yeah, you're right. Strange that our clothes have lasted like this. And your feet, he says, have you ever considered how they haven't swelled up or blistered, even though you have walked hundreds of miles in the hot desert? And it's not as if they had the soft shoes to wear that we have today. Last night, my wife and I went on a long walk. And I had some, I don't know, some 5, 6, 7-year-old shoes. It's what I used to play basketball in. I guess they broke down. They became my walking shoes, but that was a mistake. At the end of that walk, man, I'm telling you, my knees hurt. My back hurt. I texted my daughter, Abby. She works at Dick's Sporting Goods. And I said, I think I need new shoes. And so we went up there last night, and she had several picked out for me. And she showed me some good walking shoes. I'd never put my feet in anything so soft before. Well, they didn't have shoes like that back then. And what I experienced last night, my knees, my back, Moses is saying, like, have you ever noticed how your bodies have held up underneath all the strain and stress of the walking that you've done out here? They had a piece of animal skin with a strap across it, and their feet were in better shape than ours are. How was that? He's telling them how. God took care of you this whole time. You just weren't noticing. Moses is teaching the people here about the power of remembrance. And so when you remember God's constant care in the past, it strengthens your faith to go forward in the present. And so, yeah, your future looks very uncertain to you in the moment, but God has cared for you the whole way up to this point, and he wants you to know that he will not leave you now. So whatever is in front of you, you need to understand that you will not face it on your own. Just like you did not face the last thing on your own. But remembering isn't just a personal thing. Remembering strengthens the faith of the others who are with you. We're to remember and then tell other people about God's goodness to us so that they will be strengthened too. Previous to this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, he covers things like this. He tells them to remember, but to share what you remember about God's goodness with your children. This is supposed to be a form of instruction as well. So remember openly and out loud to them, to others, to your children, about how God has cared for you. That's what their festivals were meant to be. The festivals were times of remembrance. And so the Passover was not a time when the people would kill an animal that would cleanse them of their sin. They weren't atoning for their own sins there. They were remembering how God had judged the Egyptians, but had passed over them. And don't you think when they were celebrating those festivals that the children in the room that were there with them would say, what are we doing this for? Like, why are we going through these motions every year like this? And a faithful mom or dad would say in that moment, let me tell you about the goodness of God to our family and to our people. We all need to remember and recount the story of his goodness to those that we love. There's power there in remembrance and remembering out loud. It trains our hearts, hearts that are prone to be so fickle, so forgetful, often so dull. And God knows our hearts. He knows the state of our hearts. He knows what our hearts need. And he's changing them from what they were into what he wants them to be. And remembering is a part of that process. So as we remember, we're reminded of God's faithfulness, but also we're being reminded of how our hearts are prone to wander. So not only remember God, but remember your own heart. And by remembering, we learn to trust him over ourselves. So as you remember back at all the ways that God has been faithful to you, you're also going to remember back at all the times when you got weak in the knees with fear, all those times when you wanted to turn back or to throw in the towel, wanted to do it your own way, those times when you disobeyed, even though your heart knew better, you still did it anyway. All those times that you grumbled, you weren't satisfied with how God was doing things. So you complained all the way, and God was, in a sense, dragging you along. Do you remember that? And so the path that God is leading us on opens our eyes to who He is and how kind He is to us. But it also opens our eyes to who we are. And as you learn both of these things in good measure, what should happen to you? It should have a humbling effect. So look there at verse 2 again. He says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you." So we're learning about God's faithfulness to us. We're also learning about our unfaithfulness to Him. We're being humbled. We're being trained. We're being tested. Will we believe Him now in this moment? Will we have faith right now to follow Him where He is leading us, even though it looks scary ahead? Will we? So let's pause for a minute. Are there any bumps on your path right now as you're traveling in the wilderness? Any roadblocks ahead? Any streams that look like they're going to be difficult to cross? Any battles up ahead that you know are coming? You can't turn back. They are coming. Any hills to climb? Stressors, fears, anything making your nights more restless? And then in the day, something that just keeps on coming back to your mind. You can't shake it. It's just where you return to by default, day in and day out. As you think about that, are you able to say that the Lord has led you the whole way up to now, however many years that you've been His? Can you say that in confidence? He has been with me. It doesn't mean that He's removed all of the problems along the way. If you've walked with Him for any length of time, you know that He often does not do that. Rarely does God clear the path in front of you. Most often, what does He do? He leads you through whatever it is, just like He did these people here. That's what God does. That is His faithfulness. He's with us. And He is training our hearts not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in Him. That man does not live by bread alone, by what he can see. He lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God by faith. We follow Him in obedience and in trust. And say, "Lord, wherever you're going, that's where I'm going. I can't see the road ahead very clearly, but I know that you can. You are with me, and if you're with me, I'll go anywhere." Are you able in this moment to look back on His kindness to you? Is there anything that stands out that God has done where He showed up powerfully in your life? Maybe it's just one thing. that stands out. One moment when you knew that he stood by you. One moment that you know that if you had been on your own, sin and temptation would have captured you and crushed you. One prayer that he answered with perfect clarity. One provision that came right at that moment when you had to have it. Just know that as you see that one thing, or however many things come to your mind right now, that there have been 1,000 more that you could not see and can't see right now or have long forgotten about, because he has not led you part of the way or some of the time, but the whole way. He has been taking care of you every step that you have taken. So often you just didn't know it. And he's done it before. That's what remembering does. It says, he's done this before, and he is with me. He will do it again, because that's what he does. He is my God. He is my Father. And I am his child, and he does not leave me. No, he does not always do it the way that I want for him to. He doesn't always do it the way that I ask for him to. And you might seem like or feel like that you're walking around out there in the wilderness just in circles like these people were for so long, because that's what they did. There wasn't that much territory to cover that it took them 40 years. God led them here and there and around the mountain many times. Why are we doing it like this? So that their hearts would trust in their God when they crossed into the promised land. So, brothers and sisters, his faithfulness in the past should encourage you to follow him without reservation in the present. My wife, when she prayed that prayer, it was about this time 16 years ago, she really wanted to take care of horses. She's the horse girl. I'm not a horse guy. But we ended up having several children in the barn house. And so with her always pregnant, the task of taking care of those horses fell to me. So in the wintertime, we stored up a bunch of hay down there in one of the stalls, and I'd go down there every day and I'd feed those horses. And when it got warm outside and the grass started growing out there in the fields, there were several of them, I would let them out into one of the fields, and when they had eaten that one all the way down to the dirt, because that's what horses do, they don't do anything else, it seems like, but stand out there and eat and eat. And so I'd rotate them between the fields. Every time that I did that, I'd walk out there, I'd open up one of the gates, hold out my hand to them, but they wouldn't come. They'd avoid me. Now you would think that because every time that horse saw me, I was giving him food. That's all I was. I was like walking food to these horses. You would think they'd look at one another and they'd say, here comes the food guy. Let's follow him. But they wouldn't. I'm no horse expert, but it was clear that they did not remember. And because they didn't remember, they didn't trust me, and they would not follow me. We're not so different. God has proven his faithfulness again and again and again in the past, has he not? But so often in the moment, we do not remember. So the next time comes along when we need to trust him, we don't, and we resist following his lead. So my encouragement that comes directly from the Word of God today is for you to remember. And I want to encourage you to remember in two primary ways. Number one, remember who you were when Jesus found you. It's really helpful to look back. The Apostle Paul did this, it seems like, with regularity. And it wasn't to beat himself up, but it was so that he could see the grace of God and how it had transformed and changed him. He could see how kind God had been to him, a lowly sinner. So do you remember where you were when Jesus came and found you? What was your life like? What were the things that you loved to do? What were the passions of your heart at that time? What did you delight in? And can you say now that as you look back, and maybe you're looking back 1 year, maybe you're looking back 1 week, I don't know. Some of you are going to look back 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And that person that you're remembering back then is going to seem like a complete stranger. You don't recognize him or her. Why? It's because God has been so kind to you along the way. And his grace has utterly transformed you from who you were. You loved sin. You delighted in sin. You lived like the world. You didn't want to be any different than anybody else around you. And now what? Doesn't mean you're completely cured from sin. But oh, there has to have been a great transformation that has taken place over a long time. It really helps for you to remember. Because you know that it wasn't simply because you cleaned yourself up. It's because God did a work in your heart and gave you new loves, new passions, new delights. And eventually those bore new fruit. So remember who you were when Jesus found you, so that you can remember the grace of God. Yeah, he showed up. And he showed up in power. And slowly over time, things began to change. If you don't see a child for a year or two, what happens? That child comes back in front of you. There was a kid here, Christmas time, shows up. Tom, it was your nephew, Elijah. Shows up, I was like, I didn't even know who he was. Like, I hadn't seen him, you know, in probably a year or two. It's like, oh my goodness. It looks like he's full grown. But in the moment, I'm sure that his parents, day by day, didn't really see any change in him. But somebody who hasn't seen him in a while, oh, the change is remarkable. That's the way it is as we look back to who we used to be. And think about who we are now. Now, day by day, no, you're not seeing the grace of God change you day by day, at least rarely. But over the course of time, there's going to be a big difference. And God is the one who has made all the difference. It's his grace that has changed you. That's the first way. Remember who you were. Number two, make a habit not just of remembering your salvation, but the variety of ways that God has cared for you during the wilderness. And what I mean by the wilderness, so the Old Testament sets the pattern for the New Testament, the way it's going to be. So when Israel was brought out of Egypt, that is like Jesus saving us from slavery, from sin. They were saved from the Egyptians. We are saved out of our sin. That's the moment that God showed up with his mighty arm and his grace, and he said, watch what I'm about to do. You didn't do anything. Jesus did everything. Watch the Lord work, and he did. The wilderness is the time between that and the promised land, heaven. So how has God cared for you while you have been in the wilderness, in the in-between? Make a habit of remembering all the ways that he has cared for you during that time. Because you need to understand that you are prone to forget. I'm prone to forget. And if you have to, you need to start writing it down. Writing it down and reviewing. Especially reviewing in those times when the next thing comes along. Whatever that next thing is, you can go back and you can look, oh, I forgot about that. God has always showed up for me. He's always carried me through. This week, one of the brothers here and I went and visited a lady in our church. You can't get out right now. And we sat there in her living room and I looked up on the wall in front of her and she had in Sharpie written various things on the wall so that when she sits in her chair and she's starting to struggle or to have doubts, she will look up there and she will see certain truths. She said, I just need one of them. I just need one to remind me of who God is and his faithfulness to me. And that's what I'm talking about right here. We just need to be told to remember, write it down, pay attention, go back and review, because the time will come when you doubt and you're afraid and you're fearful. And we're tempted to fall apart in those moments and be unfaithful and disobey the Lord. But remembering encourages us to walk forward. So if you remember, unlike those horses would do with me all the times, that God has given you grass, that Jesus is a good shepherd and he delights to take you to green pastures and water to drink from. That's what he does. He delights to do that. If you remember that, how he has been good to you, you're reminded he was good to me back then, he's going to be good to me now. And you'll be encouraged as you remember to move forward in faith. It's the way that God has done it for many years. Did it with these Israelites back then. He's still doing it this way with us today. And my hope is that today you will remember. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you see our frame, and you remember that we are dust. And you handle us with such care and wisdom and precision. Everything that comes into our lives comes through your hand for our good. They do not always feel good. Wilderness walking sometimes hurts. We encounter things on our journey that we do not want to face. But you want to remind us that you are always there with us, teaching us, training our hearts, humbling us, preparing us for the time when we will cross over that river Jordan into the promised land to be with you forever. You are making our hearts more pure. You are making us more faithful. You are testing our hearts to see if we will obey you this time. And one of the ways that you encourage us to do that is you remind us of how you have so cared for us in the past. And so I pray today that in this room, Lord, that we will be a people who remember the goodness that you have shown us in the cross, that Jesus Christ went to his death so that we could have life, that we would remember that. But also the variety of ways in our own personal lives, the way that you have shown up and cared for us as we have journeyed along. We do confess our fearfulness. You see our hearts. And in this room right now, you see all the things that your people are facing right now. There are some fearful moments. There are some heavy hearts, great concerns. There are battles to be waged in the very near future. You see it all. And you are telling us, remember, I have led you the whole way up to this point. I will not fail you now. And may your people walk forward in faith, trusting that if you are with us, there is nothing that's going to stop us. There might be pain ahead. more suffering, more difficulty. But there is a land for us. And you're making us ready. You are wise, you are good, you are sovereign, and your love never fails. We confess all of these things, Lord. Teach us to trust. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.